All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of That's Running. Patty is in New York somewhere currently visiting a friend. And I am here with ultra runner Karen. Karen, can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Karen Barrett. I apologize for my voice today. I spent a very big weekend cheering on 1,000 mountain bike riders, yelling and screaming for 5 hours straight. So my voice doesn't normally sound like this. So today I actually sound like a smoker, but I have given up.
So currently sounds like she's smoking a pack a day, but no longer. I asked you to come on because a friend of yours messaged me saying, "This is Karen. Karen just finished the run down under 135. That's 135 miles through the Australian bush, and you did pretty well in that.
Yeah, didn't do too shabby.
What happened?"
I was the first female finisher ever to complete the race, and I was third overall.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's not bad. So,
Yeah.
rewinding to how long ago, when did you start running?
Because I used to smoke, and I was a really heavy smoker. I would smoke 2 packets of Winfield Red a day. So I was the sort of smoker that would actually get up in the middle of the night and have a cup of tea and a cigarette. So
Right.
yeah, and I would actually smoke more on a weekend with a carton of Jim Beam. So I decided I really needed to give up smoking because I ended up with that cough. And I always said, as soon as I get that cough, because it was disgusting,
Yeah.
I'd give up smoking. So thought I'd try and run a marathon before I was 40. That didn't turn out. So I was about 42. I actually found giving up smoking really, really difficult because I actually did enjoy it.
Yeah,
But
fair enough.
yeah, so
It's a habit, I guess, and an
yeah, it's a
addiction.
shocking habit. But yeah, found out that I couldn't smoke and run at the same time.
Fair enough.
So
I
I kept on
can
running.
see how that works. I've never smoked, but I can imagine smoking and running is not the perfect combination
No.
of activities. So, how long ago was your first marathon?
So my first marathon was on the Gold Coast,
Yep.
and that was yeah. So I was 42. So about se nearly 7 years ago.
7 years ago,
Yeah.
first marathon. And the lead up to that was just walk running,
Yeah, a bit of park
s bit
run.
of park run. Yeah,
Yeah.
always good
So
to start.
yes. Yeah. So park run's really good. So the first race I did, and it was a spur of the moment one, was the Maitland River Run, which was 5Ks. And that was 32 minutes, and that's when I actually thought, I love this thing. So,
Yeah.
yeah,
That's when you got the
and it's
bug.
yeah, and it grew from there.
That's sweet.
And then I found this other one. So from doing park run, I heard about the North Face 50,
Yeah.
and so I went and done that and absolutely loved it, and haven't done a road run since.
Good,
Yes.
because we all love trail running. Road running
Yeah.
is okay, but it's different. It's a very
Yes.
different sport, road versus trail,
Yeah.
especially if we talk ultra running. It's, yeah, different. What do you call it? Just different.
Yeah, certainly is.
So Gold Coast was road marathon,
Yes.
and after that you were like, "Now fuck this,
Pretty
I'm
much.
done with roads. I'm gonna hit the trails."
Yeah.
So then you did North Face. That's currently UTA, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's now the UTA 50. Back then the North Face 50.
Yes, it was the North Face.
So that was your was it your first ultra?
It was my first ultra. Yep. And then from there, I thought, because I really enjoyed that one, and I thought, fuck, if I can run 50K, surely I can do 150.
Yeah.
So went and did the
That's what most people will think. Oh wait, no.
Went and did the Anzac Ultra solo. So and That was a one-off thing to commemorate, I think it was 100 year of Anzac. And So I did the 150K and finished first female in that one.
Sweet. And that's when you're like, okay, I love this ultra thing.
Yes,
This.
loved it.
So back to your first 50.
Yep.
What, like, you really enjoyed it. You love that.
Yes.
Were you fast? Were you slow? Were you like,
Nah.
whatever, I just want
Do
to
you know what?
finish?
I had a lot of people telling me how bloody hard it was. And so I actually took it pretty easy through that, and I finished in 7 hours and 30 minutes.
All right.
Yeah. So, and then
Sweet.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, that wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when you're like, oh, 50, I can do it triple this distance. And, yeah. And like they challenge.
Yep.
Sweet. So from there, I'm assuming longer and longer and longer.
Yeah. Well, actually, I did the UTA 100.
Yeah.
And my goal for that was a silver buckle.
Yeah, that's so, sub 14 hours.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, which I got.
Sweet. What did you do it in?
Oh, God. It was only just.
Sub 14 is sub 14.
But I really, because I wanted to start in wave one and they wouldn't let me start in wave one. So I had to start in wave three. And I ended up overtaking everybody in wave three and then in wave two and then, you know, like half the people in wave one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like, bloody
hell. Yeah. and then Buffalo Stampede Grand Slam, which I won. Yeah, first female.
Sweet.
That one, yeah.
So you've been going pretty well since then.
Yeah.
All right. So at some point you decided to run 135 miles.
Yes.
Why?
Because I really wanted to run a miler. I was probably a little bit naive when I entered it.
In what way?
I had no idea about the terrain.
Okay. That's a good start.
Yeah. The bloody thing is more like an SAS training course.
Oh.
Yeah, it is insane.
So what's the terrain like?
It is actually really, really hard to describe because it has everything in there. So you've got 11 Ks of boulder hopping and bloody tree climbing over all these trees and everything that have fallen into this dry riverbed. And then you've got ridges, so and with sheer drops either side. Then you're like climbing around the side of the mountain on a cliff, and because when I did it, the ground was really soft, so the cliff was actually breaking away underfoot. And then you've got just these sheer drops on either side, and then you've got a little bit of fire trail, which is quite nice. But then one section of this fire trail just keeps on going up and up and up for 6Ks. And bush bashing. Oh my God, the bush bashing. And you're like bashing through the bush, and then you've got an old mine shaft that's, you know, collapsed beside you, and yeah, so it's just crazy.
It sounds amazing.
It is.
Absolutely amazing.
It is. It completely annihilates your mind and your body because you've got to concentrate so freaking hard the entire way.
Yeah, you can't just go on autopilot you could on a road run where you can just go switch off and go, okay, I can go for 12 hours. Yeah, not. So for us normal people that don't, like, that use the metric system,
mm-hmm.
What's 135 miles? How far are you actually really running?
So normally it's 217 Ks, but this one was actually 225.
Right. So a few extra Ks.
Like, yeah, a bit more for your money.
Who cares? Yeah. It's value for money, right?
Exactly.
So 225 Ks.
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking when you signed up? Why did you think this was a good idea? Because a miler, like a standard miler is 100 miles, which is around 160 Ks.
Uh-huh.
So where did the extra like sort of 75 Ks come from? Why didn't you just do a GNW?
Do you know what? I actually did sign up for the GNW, but I had a friend that was in a bit of trouble. So, she suffers from PTSD. So, I actually spent a lot of time trying to help her. So, she was, in a really bad way. So, I had actually signed up for the GNW, but unfortunately it didn't work out. So, that's
why. So, this was the next best option.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. All right. Everybody that listens, I guess, is a runner, and we all know what it takes to train for races, and you can train for a marathon, and we can wrap our heads around training for a 50 and even training for 100. How the fuck do you train 435 miles?
Train your brain.
Is it more mental than physical?
Yes, most definitely. Okay. Because my training leading up to it this time around was absolutely shit.
Define absolutely shit in
So I did do – well, I added mountain biking into it, which I actually found really good. So a lot of that, you know, like low-impact training. Mm-hmm. So and I'm enjoying the mountain biking. Normally I would do anything between, say, 130 to 180 Ks a week. But leading up to this one, I was lucky to make 100 Ks a week.
Right.
So it actually averaged, I think, around 70 Ks.
70 Ks a week of running.
Yeah, but I was doing strength work and that, so I do strength work twice a week. But, yeah, it was more mountain biking this time around. But most of my training was mental.
Right. So why was there more mountain biking this time around?
I actually found it because this was the second time I'd actually tried doing Down Under.
Yeah. What happened the first time?
Oh, bitter.
Well, not bitter enough because you went back.
No. I had been given conflicting information and my crew hadn't been given the correct information, or there was, you know, like, for whatever reason, I didn't all gel together. So my crew missed me a couple of times on some checkpoints and that sort of stuff. And it didn't work out. I learned a very valuable lesson, and for that I'm extremely grateful. Got pulled up at, I think it was 185 Ks or something like that last time. And so I'm the only female that's ever gone past the 151 Ks twice.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So what, you got pulled up and got pulled out?
Yes.
Because of time restrictions?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yes. Very.
Oh, so especially if your head's in it and your body is still surviving?
Yes, that's right.
So what was this lesson you've learned that first time?
To be more prepared. So to make sure that my crew were 100% prepared and they knew exactly what they were doing each and every checkpoint.
Yeah.
And writing out, you know, like what I thought I might need at each checkpoint. Yeah. So making the decisions for myself rather than letting them make the decisions for me. So that was the biggest lesson that
I
learned.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so this time around, less running, more mountain biking.
Yes, but more mental prep.
More mental. What is mental prep?
So for me, because I really, really struggled with not finishing the first time round, and it really rocked me. I was actually surprised by how hard I found it to come back from that. But I had to like train my brain because I 100% believed that I would make it the first time.
Mm. Yeah. As you should.
Yes.
You don't want to go in going, no, I can't do this.
Yeah. And so I had to then like convince myself again that I was going to win it. And then once I finally decided that I was going to win it, I was going to, I could actually decide I was going to win it outright.
But yeah. Third,
you know, anyway.
Good decision, but practical, slightly.
Yeah, so because I actually decided there was no male or female, there was just first.
Yeah.
And I was gunning for first.
As you should.
So I had to, like, work with just watching YouTube videos on different athletes.
Yeah.
So Floyd Mayweather was actually really good.
Right, yeah.
He's phenomenal.
In what way?
Oh, just, like, his mental preparation and the way he, you know, like tries to get an edge over his competitors and that sort of stuff, you know, like, yeah, just amazing. So working on positive affirmations so just watching other athletes and that as well. So, but yeah, just working on those positive affirmations. So a lot of YouTube watching and that sort of stuff and books. So reading a lot of, self-help books, that sort of stuff.
Let's call it self-help books.
Okay.
I know it sounds wanky, but like, I read self-help books as well, but it's different.
But it was all on mind, training the mind and that sort of stuff. So every single morning I would write out and I would call them my I ams, you know, I am strong. I am master of my mind, you know, like, just those sort of things.
Yeah.
So yeah, writing it down, you know, like trying to convince my brain
this is reality.
Yeah.
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 Any, like, if you had to recommend one book to someone, to anyone out there, what would you go, this is your must read, or two, or three?
Do you know what, there's one I'm, I can't even think of the bloody names of them. Because I'm reading one at the moment called Raw.
Yeah.
There's another one actually called Master of Your Mind.
Yeah.
That I'm actually reading as well. But yeah, so it's mainly just those sort of things. So,
okay.
Yeah. But reading about Michael Jordan and that sort of stuff and
Sweet. So that's...
So not necessarily running.
No.
Yeah, actually none of them I think were on running.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like, they're interesting actually all to go, different.
Yeah, because I reckon, like, in the very essence of it, every athlete is the same.
Yeah.
You have the same struggles. You're looking at the same obstacles, the self-doubt, the can I do this, the what the hell am I doing?
David Goggins was actually quite good, but I actually found, because I listened to him a few times, but then he was just getting too angry for me.
Yeah, fair.
I was like, oh, because, you know, like he kept on going on about, you know, like you have to suffer, you have to suffer. And it's like, oh, fuck, really? And then, and then I actually, yeah, reworded it. And it was like, how much are you willing to suffer? And that actually, yeah, it rang a bell with me, you know, like how much was I willing to suffer? And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to suffer at all. I want to enjoy this.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and that's why that was one of the biggest things, I think, just trying to make it enjoyable this time. Yeah. So, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I did.
All of it?
Yeah, for most part. I didn't enjoy falling over or the prickles. The prickles were a real pain in the ass. But I actually got peppered. My hands, my legs were actually peppered with prickles. Yeah.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, like was that early on or later on in the race?
Early on.
Oh, fuck. So you're there getting absolutely hammered by prickles and then you still have to run a fucking long way.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the race. What, you know, like you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
So it starts at Bacchus Marsh.
For non-Australians, give me a vague.
Oh, Victoria. Victoria, on the Lotterdijk. Yeah, Lotterdijk in the Lotterdijk Gorge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking inland.
Yes.
Rural Australia.
Yeah, it's only 40 minutes from Melbourne.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
I know.
All right. Yeah, cool. Yeah. So 40 minutes from Melbourne. People can Google that. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where you start.
Yes. Like,
how far before do you arrive?
So we start at 8 o'clock. So it's an 8 o'clock start.
8 a.m.?
Yep.
Yep.
And, the checkpoints and everything are still all jumbled up in my mind. And the terrain, bits and pieces of the terrain are all, I can't quite work out the sequence. I'd actually
what's
have
where?
To. Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah. And they were actually jumbled up the first time I'd done it because I use visualization actually.
Yeah.
And I was really struggling to try and get past the checkpoint that I was pulled up last year.
Fair.
So I had to go back to that checkpoint a few weeks before and get myself through that checkpoint and then go to what is the start of it. So I actually had to run it backwards. Yeah. To get my mind across the finish line.
So sort of like face your demons and go, cool.
Yes.
This is where shit went wrong last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to deal with this before I get there and race day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it help?
It did. Yeah. It really helped. And it really helped going with a couple of the girls from my crew as well because they made it fun.
Yeah, right.
So
that was just a cruisy 180K run. just to put it out there.
So I didn't like when I went back there the few weeks before it, I didn't run it. I just went to each checkpoint just to get my mind, through the checkpoints and that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So
she's just like, this is what it is. This is what I'm doing. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Just to deal with that.
Yeah.
So you can sort of start fresh.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
Yeah. So, cause I had a lot of, negativity attached to that particular checkpoint, and I needed to get rid of that to be able to move through it.
Yeah.
So a few weeks before the race, went through a couple of the checkpoints and that sort of stuff. And but the morning of the run, start at 8. Well, you go there, get your transponder attached to you.
Yeah.
This year we didn't have to get weighed by the medical team, which was good, I suppose. And then, lined up. I actually deliberately did not speak to anybody.
You were just like, nah.
Yeah, straight into it because I was on a mission this time around. So, and at one point I'm thinking, oh, fuck, I hope they don't think I'm an arsehole, because I really didn't want to have to speak to anybody. I didn't want to have to look at anybody. I actually did make contact with one of the, and I wish I knew her name, but she was one of the medic team, and she just looked at me and we both she gave me a bit of a wink and a nod. I was like,
I guess if you put yourself on that start line of that race that last year, let's say, was suboptimal,
Yes.
There's like that, and you've worked towards this for a year. There's a lot of pressure on yourself. And
yeah.
Not even like yes, you went out to win it as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things going on in your head on the start line going, and just to get there. And I can't imagine standing next to someone, you're not having a, oh, so how was your weekend? what's your plan for today? Yeah. You're going to have a good run?
Do you know what? I thought there was going to be plenty of opportunity throughout the race. If we wanted to have a chat, we'd have a chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just needed to get my head in the game from the get-go.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And yeah, I actually pretty well sprinted, because the girls even said to me, it's like, fucking, you know, like you, as soon as because when they start the race, they start with the crack of a whip.
Yeah.
A stock whip. And and I took off like a rocket. So it was like I was starting a 10K race. Yeah,
okay, let's go. Let's get this over and done with. I'll see you guys in an hour.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Did that bite you later on?
No.
Did you go out too hard?
No. Yeah, no. Because I don't consider myself really strong up going uphill.
Yeah.
But I can actually bomb downhill.
Yeah, right.
So, and yeah, you've only got like a couple of K before you start climbing.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. So most of the elevation is within the first like 30K.
Right. So, okay. How much elevation are we talking?
I think it's like,
give or take.
Yeah. It's between 8,000, 10,000.
Okay. Plenty. Yeah. Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that 10K, between 8 and 10 is a lot.
Yes.
Well, it's also a fucking long way, so fair enough. So running the race, do you go checkpoint to checkpoint, like in your head, going, oh, this is what I'm working towards?
Yes. So I never, ever think about, I visualize the finish before I actually get to the event.
Yep.
During the event, it's just getting to each checkpoint.
Yep.
So knowing, you know, like how many Ks, approximately how long it's going to take me to get to each checkpoint. So during the race, I actually break it down into doable chunks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How far are the checkpoints apart, give or take?
3 hours.
Okay.
So, and, you know, like in saying that, you know, like one checkpoint might be 8 Ks.
Yeah.
But it's going to take you 3 hours to get there.
Yeah, because it's uphill for 8 Ks.
Exactly. Yeah. So it absolutely smashes you within the first 30 Ks.
Yeah.
And then it smashes you in the last 30 Ks.
Right, because the last 30 Ks is a lot of uphill as well.
Yes. Yeah. So because it's an out and back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I thought it was a loop or something, but it's an out and back. Oh,
it's an out and back.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I dislike running out and back because I'm like, I've been here.
Yeah. Oh, but it all looks completely different backwards.
Yeah, like, don't run backwards. But if you run back. Yeah, I know, like, I think that's the beauty of trail.
Yeah.
Because you come back and you know you've been there, but you still see different things.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to choose, I'd not do an out and back.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have to do one, it's on the trail.
Yes.
Because you see new things.
Yeah.
Have you ever done the Knapsack Lab Race?
No.
Glenbrook. 5K loop, go for 3 or 6 hours.
Okay.
And it's on the trail.
Oh, okay.
But still, every loop, you find different things.
Yes.
Even though you've been there 4, 5, 6 times, you go, oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
And every, like, after 9 or 10, you're like, yeah, I've been here.
Yeah.
But the first 5, 6, you just, every time, it feels like you're running somewhat fresh.
Yeah.
It's really interesting on the trail that happens.
Yeah. I remember some sections of it, like, heading out, you're like climbing down, and like the drops were taller than me.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm thinking, fuck, I've got to climb back up that.
And you're like, how the hell am I going to get back up?
I can't, you know? Yeah. Insane.
So you work from checkpoint to checkpoint.
Yep.
Talk me through, like, how do you mentally work and survive, and how long did it take you?
So 49 hours.
So 49 hours nonstop?
Yes.
No sleep?
Oh, I did have two naps.
Now, how long is a nap?
So I'd actually been practicing my nap. Isn't that wonderful?
Well done. Please tell me more. I'd like to hear more about this.
So I had actually been trying to nap for like 20 minutes, but I actually found that when I woke up, and you know, like, so I'd be running, nap for 20 minutes, and then like get up and run again.
Yeah.
But I found I felt really sick. And I was like dry reaching and that sort of thing. So I had to find my magic number with my nap.
Yeah.
So As it turned out, 7 minutes is my magic number.
7 minutes, okay.
But I need to set the timer for 11 minutes because it was taking me an average of 4 minutes to fall asleep.
Yeah.
7 minutes snoring my head off.
And then up, let's go.
Yeah, bang, up, yeah. And go. So the first time, my first nap was bang on 7 minutes. So, well, and I was like, bang, up, sat up, and I went, right, let's go. And I remember the look on one of the girls' faces, Melissa Kaslick, the look on her face, yeah, it was like, fuck. You know, like, yeah, because I've just popped straight up and, okay, let's go.
Off we go, let's go.
Yeah.
How far in was this?
I think that was the first night. It was at O'Brien's checkpoint. So I'd been out and I was on my way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was the second night, actually. Yeah,
so you ran
at the beginning
the
of the
first,
second night. Yeah.
Ran through the first yeah. nap was beginning of the second night.
Second night, yeah.
So what's that, 36
yeah.
hours in?
Yeah, it would have been about
give
that.
Give or take?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then my second nap was at Lowe's, and it was freezing cold, and I was jackhammering, and I just couldn't get warm.
Mm.
And I slept for the entire 11 minutes, and it
just
was the most and it was the most amazing 11 minutes of my life. So yeah, so 18 minutes in total.
Right.
Sleep.
18 minutes sleep in 49 hours,
yep.
And 225 kilometers.
Yeah.
Right. So what happened? Like, I've done some long runs, and sometimes my mind just wanders and does shit. And
yeah,
I've heard people hallucinate on long runs and just.
I clearly wasn't trying hard enough because I did not hallucinate. Which really
disappointing.
Sucked.
Yeah,
I know.
So mind went well.
For most part, I did have a few motherfucker moments where I hated it.
Like what happened?
I just felt low, and I'd lost. I couldn't work out how long it was taking me to, you know, like, because it felt like it was taking me an hour to run a kilometer. It wasn't.
Yeah.
But in my mind,
feeling wise, like, oh my god.
Yeah, in my mind, yeah. So I'd lost all concept on time and distance. But yeah, and there was a few times where I thought, fuck, you know, like, this thing is relentless. It just won't let up. But as soon as I said that, my brain actually switched and said, yes, but it has a finish line.
Mm.
So, and I don't know where my finish line is.
Yeah.
So, but I knew the event was going to end.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that was your sort of switch of going, I'm low, realizing there's a finish line and you will finish.
Yeah.
We'll get you out of that. And you go, cool.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So there wasn't, I did not think for a second that I was not going to finish.
Yeah.
I did not even enter my mind to quit.
No, good.
Yeah.
But we all have those moments when you're running and you're just struggling.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're doing 1K an hour.
Yeah.
And every step feels like you're dragging yourself.
And you know what? I actually got the girls to like hide treats in my pocket, in my backpack.
Like you didn't know where.
Yeah, exactly. So that in a random pocket, if I was like fishing around for something.
You're like, oh, I need a gel. But
yeah.
Then...
And I'd find a little Mars bar or something.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, yeah. So that would actually switch my mind as well.
How good.
Yeah. So it would, just distract me. So,
yeah.
And I remember, cause I like these things called B-pops.
Yeah.
So they're like a Chubba Chop, but, like a boiled lolly on a stick.
Yeah.
But these ones are honey and eucalyptus. And so they're all natural. And, I remember, I actually didn't realize at the time, but, so they hid one of these in my pocket. And because the bloody things have got a wrapper on it, and I was struggling with the wrapper, and I go, oh, I found a bee pop, but I couldn't get the fucking wrapper off. So then I put it back in my pocket, and then like a few minutes later, I go, oh, I found a bee pop, and then I couldn't get the fucking wrapper off, so I put it back in my pocket, and I did it about 3 times apparently, and I didn't realize.
Yeah, like, oh, there it is again. Oh, great.
And poor Melissa's gone, yes, Karen, yes.
Thanks for all 12 of those. I'm gonna give you 2. Whatever. Sweet. So in 49 hours, which is a long time of running,
mm-hmm.
and give it like 18 minutes of sleep,
mm-hmm.
Have you got highlights where you go, this was actually the best? Like, I'm assuming the finish was a highlight.
Do you know what? I think the finish line is, I actually felt nothing.
You're like, oh,
which
yeah.
Which is a bit, yeah.
Okay, done. No, what?
But I think it's because I got all the emotion out before I got to the finish line,
yeah.
And I didn't want the girls to cry or lose it or either. And I should actually mention my crew because the girls were absolutely amazing. So I had Sally Lynch from Barefoot Inc. I had Melissa Kaslik, a very good friend. Geordie, she's a local from Sydney, so Geordie McLean. And Mel Hanlon. So, and I actually chose the crew for their strengths, which was really, really cool. Mm. So, yeah, and it just worked so well. The girls were amazing because they actually got the nickname the Formula One crew because they got me through the checkpoints
in no time at all. Change of tyres.
Pretty much.
Some petrol, let's go.
Yeah, because one of the checkpoints, they timed them and it was 120 seconds.
Oh, 2 minutes, well done.
Yeah.
A crew can make or break a race like totally. This, I can imagine.
Yeah, totally. So I actually said to the girls, don't cry, because I know I'll lose it. But at the finish line, I actually saw a little girl with a pink Tail Runner hat on.
Yeah.
And because that's my brand, Tail Runner. And I went straight over to her and I said, I did that race to show you that girls can do anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sweet. That was really cool.
That's so cool.
I hope she remembers that, I hope that was a moment for her. Yeah. As it was for me. So, yeah, I hope she holds on to that.
Sweet.
Yeah. Highlights, just the view, you'd be struggling trying to get up this fucking mountain and you'd be sliding backwards and that sort of thing, or the cliff would, drop away from under your feet. But when you got to the top of the mountain, just the view was absolutely amazing. And, just incredible. Just the whole, that part of the country is just magnificent. Mm. Yeah, it's just beautiful. And you'd have these sheer cliffs either side of you in the gorge and, just amazing.
Just amazing terrain and just amazing. Yeah, it's not something you'd see every day.
No. Yeah, and what a way to see the country.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you can't get into these places with a four-wheel drive.
No.
You can't get into there, on a bike or, motorbike or
you
anything.
You have to run them.
You have to, you have to do it by foot.
Or you can do it bit by bit and not do it in one go. that's an option. Just put it out there.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
For people that don't want to run 135 miles.
Yeah, because it actually links up with the Great Dividing Range.
Oh, right, does it?
Yeah. Yeah, amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes. Imagine doing that. From Queensland to Victoria.
Oh, maybe your next run.
That's a thought.
So ran a fucking long way. Had some hard moments, had some good moments.
Yes. So you do go through the lows, you do go through the highs. When you're in a low, you've just got to recognize that it is a low.
How was that checkpoint you got pulled up last year?
Oh, mate, I flew through it this year.
Fuck this.
Anyway. And the thing too, there was an extra hour added onto that checkpoint, and I thought, very presumptuous of me, I thought that they added that extra hour for me.
Thank you, guys.
But I wanted to show them that I didn't need that hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I made sure I got through there in plenty of time.
Smashed
and
gone. Yeah. Not going to linger here.
Yeah.
Just going to continue. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
When you finished, you were the only female and came third overall. And you were like, no feelings at the finish line, just glad to be finished.
Yeah. I actually touched the pole and I went, motherfucker.
What did you do nutrition wise for that long? I'm assuming you need to eat.
Yes.
Not just suck on gels because.
I can't do gels.
No.
So I made sure I tried to get as many calories in as I could when I was feeling good.
Yeah.
So early on in the race, and I ate 3 kilos of potatoes over the entire. 3 kilos of potato and almost a kilo of butter. So that was most of my calories, but I was also getting calories from and my hydration from Tailwind. So I did have Tailwind all the way through. But just trying to make sure that I was getting those extra calories.
You have to.
So and did have a couple of cheese toasties and actually I didn't realize, but I went through nearly a loaf of bread.
Oh.
Yeah, just in Vegemite sandwiches and cheese toasties.
I'm not a fan of Vegemite. My face was just like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. Don't give me that when I'm running. Yeah, but I know for myself, if I run long, I get hungry.
Yes.
Like I can take gels if I go for a short hot run, but I can take gels in a long run, but I just get hungry. I need something solid, something to digest. Otherwise I just get cranky and like, So yeah, like I guess in a run like that, you need so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you don't do that, you'll get in trouble later on.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I just found the potatoes worked really well.
Yeah, potatoes are, like I've used potatoes as well.
I'm on team potato.
It's such a good, like just boiled potatoes with salt and butter.
Yes.
And you're like, sweet. Yeah. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you need, yeah, it's not something you would carry in a backpack.
No.
For a long time. You need aid stations for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So finished this, came third. What's next?
So I am the ambassador for Brisbane Trail Ultra.
Yeah.
That's in July. So I'm the ambassador for the 100 miler. Not too sure how I'll go with it because my goal is the Gold Coast. So the Trail Ultra Gold Coast, which is the 500K. So yeah, most of my energy and that is actually going towards that one. Yep. So that's my, yeah. So I'm going to go enjoy the Brisbane one.
When's that?
So the Brisbane one's in July and the Gold Coast one's in September. So yeah.
So I'm assuming that is uncharted territory for you, that distance.
500 kilometers, yes.
What prep are you going to do? Are you going to do anything different?
Probably not actually. Sticking to, you know, like mountain biking twice a week, my strength work twice a week. I should run probably a bit more this time around.
Yeah, maybe you should
turn the legs over a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, trying to keep an average of around 100 and probably 130 Ks a week running.
Over how many runs would you do that?
So I do at least 6 runs a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sweet.
Mm.
So 100 miler in July and then September 500 Ks.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What, like, let's say I normally run 100K.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do if I want to start a miler? Is that much different?
No.
Just same, just longer?
Yep. Yeah. And it's just that mental strength.
Mental strength.
If you believe you can finish it. Because every single person that lined up on the start line of Down Under 135 could have finished.
Yeah.
Physically, they were more than capable of finishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I 100% believe that.
It's just mentally.
Yeah.
The mind gives up before the body does.
Yeah, because I remember seeing a post from one of the girls from last year. So on the start line last year, one of the girls actually said, now none of the girls are going to tag out. That's right. And I thought, if you're thinking like that.
Already at the start.
You're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just, was like, no, you're out. And one of the girls this year, I saw a post on Facebook and she wrote, I hope I finish. And I was like, don't fucking hope.
No, you know? You fucking finish.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, and that's when I thought, oh God, baby girl, you're out.
Yeah. And it's I reckon that's a big thing for long distance running.
Yeah.
That mental preparation.
Yeah.
So would that be your number one advice?
Yeah, totally.
If you.
Yeah. Doubling. You have to go into it 100% convinced you are going, whether you're going to win or not, but 100% convinced you are going to finish.
Yeah.
And you will find any fucking possible way
to finish. Did you go in with that mindset last year?
Yes.
What changed? Why did you finish this year? Why didn't you finish last year?
There were a couple of things.
Besides, like, the crew not being ideal and miscommunications.
Yeah. So I don't think the crew gelled. Well, it wasn't working as a cohesive unit, like I thought it was going to. So I actually had a completely different thing in my mind as to how it all panned out.
Yeah.
And this year, so I learnt a huge amount from that last year. And this year, just making, the main thing was just preparing and making sure my crew were prepared and that, you know, like the same thing wasn't repeated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the main thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And just working on the strengths of the crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was the main thing, I think.
That's right. So shout out to everybody that has ever crewed.
Yeah. Oh, what a shit job.
Well done, guys. We need you so badly.
I know. And like, that's the thing too, you know, like the poor crew. Yeah. I don't think they get the recognition that they deserve. That's for sure. Cause it's a bloody long, you know, like time, you know, out there crewing for such, in horrible conditions a lot of the time. So, and they, you know, like lack of sleep and, you know, they're trying to eat on the run as well. And
because all they're there for is you.
Yeah, that's right. And it's quite a selfish sport, you know,
In that case it is.
Yeah. Bloody oath.
Yeah. But like, I've never met people that crew that don't enjoy it.
I know. That's crazy. But in saying that, I love, you know, like I love volunteering and I love, helping other people achieve their goals and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. So for them getting you over the line, like, it was definitely a big win for them as well. Yeah.
Totally.
It's not like, oh, I did this.
Yeah. And I think the thing too, like last year, it hurt the crew as much as it hurt me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fair enough.
Yeah. So everybody was just as disappointed as I was. Yeah,
as you would.
Mm.
But yeah, well done.
Cheers.
So now, just a 500k trot in September.
Yeah. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's like a long way to come from being smoking 2 packets a day.
Oh yeah.
How old are you now?
I'll be 49 this year.
49, still young.
Yeah. Like, totally.
Not even halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, and people go, "Oh, I'm getting older. I can't run.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be running. It's bad for me."
Mm.
Bullshit.
Total bullshit.
Okay, sweet. Then we're on the same.
Bullshit, man. I'm just starting. See? So I'm looking at Nikki Spinks and going, "Fuck me, she's phenomenal." You know, I want to be as good as her.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, and what's she? 51, 52.
52. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
So. Getting into running from an older age is not, like, I'm saying older age, whatever that means.
Yeah, but
when you're 40s. When you're not 20.
Yeah.
I think I thoroughly believe that as you get older, you get better with that mental strength and that grit.
Yeah.
And to just go, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And you've got a lot more life experience to draw on and, you know, like, to get you through, you know, like, so, I know some people, you know, like when they are in a low moment, you know, like they've got past experience to draw on. It's like, oh, yeah, I went through that shit, you know, like and survived, you know. Yeah.
So I can do this and survive. This is just a run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's just a run.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things I actually wrote down in my list of instructions for the girls is because I don't tend to whinge or bitch or anything like that when I'm running. I'm not an unhappy runner.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike some people I've crewed.
Well, mention no names.
No. But
but Jennifer, you bet.
I don't know a Jennifer. But and yeah, one of the things I actually did write there, you know, like if I do whinge, not that I tend to, but tell me to shut the fuck up, it's not heart surgery, you know, like so
Yeah, but, okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Any advice you would give any runner getting into it or getting into long distance running?
Mm-hmm.
Any, give me one, you must absolutely do this and one absolutely don't do this.
Oh, okay. So I think the biggest thing that most people do tend to do, which is not good, is overtrain.
Hmm.
They get a bit too excited and they overtrain. So, because I made that mistake when I first started running. So I overtrained and I broke nearly every single bone in both feet.
Well done.
That's
impressive.
Oh, totally. I actually have a habit of breaking things. So with Buffalo Stampede Grand Slam, I actually went into that with a broken foot. I broke it the week before.
Okay, just as a general advice for people out there, running with a broken foot is not
probably
advised.
Not advisable. But I figured, oh, it's already broken. How much brokener can it get?
It can get more brokener in general.
Yeah, don't do that. Actually, I did break my wrist in Down Under last year, which no one actually knew. But
that fall? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, how I didn't break anything this time around has got me buggered.
Hey.
So overtraining, don't do that. People tend to get a bit too excited. The other thing is too, don't go entering every bloody event every friggin' week. I see that all the time. Yep. It's FOMO. What is that? But the biggest thing to get into ultra running is probably making sure that you are conditioned, which is a good one, but making sure that your nutrition, hydration, all those sort of things are on point so that you don't get let down by them.
Yeah.
But also too, if you are, in saying that, if you do get to a stage where they call it bonking, don't panic, you know, what's the worst thing? You might have to sit down for half an hour and
eat something and exactly. You'll be all
right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I do cramp, you know, like that sort of thing. And I've learned to just, you know, calm down, you know, just talk myself through it.
Let it cramp. It'll
go away. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, don't panic. Don't get upset. Yeah.
All right, cool. So if people want to follow you and look at your journey and look at the crazy shit you're doing and are going to do, where can we find you?
Okay, so if you look up Tail Runner, you'll actually find my business page. So, and that's a lot of, because I actually design running harnesses for running with your dog, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I should have actually mentioned that. My two training partners are two rescue Kelpies. I first got Cadence, they're named Cadence and Pace. So I couldn't find anybody to run 60Ks for fun on a weekend with me. So so I adopted Cadence first and then Pace came along later. And I couldn't find any proper running leads. So I designed hands-free running leads so you can actually run with your dog without having to hold onto a lead.
Sweet. Yep. So that's you.
Yes.
That's your professional website.
Yes. And so on Instagram, I'm Karen Barrett Tail Runner. Facebook, Karen Barrett. I do have a social running group, which is Tail Runners. And
whereabouts is that?
Sorry?
Whereabouts?
Oh, so it is Australia wide. I've got a lot of people in there Australia wide.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of the social runs and that are around the Newcastle area.
Yeah, that's where you live.
Yes,
yeah,
that's okay. Correct.
So
yeah.
People from Newcastle, look her up, go for a run with her.
Yeah. Not, bring your dog.
Not too long. Like an average of 100K.
I am a bit of a shocker. It's like, oh, I'll go and do 10Ks, 20Ks later. Oh, shit, should turn around and go home.
I should have done 10K. Yeah. What was I doing? Yes, well, that's good. Like, you're conditioned enough to do that.
Yeah.
To go, I feel like running 10K and end up running 50 and be okay with that.
Yeah.
Where some days you feel like running 50 and you run 10K 10, and you're like, fuck this, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because today is not the right day for
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah. I don't put any pressure on myself because some days you feel good, some days you feel like shit. So, yeah, I just go with the flow. And sometimes, you know, like I'll go out and I think, oh, yeah, I'll go up, you know, like Mount Sugarloaf and, you know, blah, 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 and then I'll go a completely different way. And, and if I'm not having a good day, and it's on a trail that, you know, like I've been on a few times. It's like, oh, bugger it. I'll just head bush. So, and I'll just go, you know, like wandering off through the bush. So.
Yeah. And just go that way and see what happens.
Yep.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, guys, if you want to follow Karen, jump on Facebook, Instagram. We'll chuck this on Facebook as well. We'll tag you. So
cool.
If you have any questions.
Yeah. Hit me up.
Hit her up.
Happy to answer.
Sweet. Either on our Facebook page or on your Facebook page or on Instagram, wherever you find us and her. And then like we'll keep the conversation going. And well, thank you for coming on, Karen.
No worries.
Thank you for driving
from Newcastle
to Sydney and then back. It's only, 4 hours?
Well, I live at Holmesville, which is in the middle of nowhere, basically.
I don't even know where that is.
Sounds gorgeous, though, doesn't
Holmesville,
it?
Holmesville, yeah.
Yeah.
Where in relation to Newcastle are we talking?
West.
West
of Newcastle.
West inland of Newcastle.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sweet. Right, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Guys, thank you for listening as well from all over the world, as always. And again, keep the questions coming. We've got so many questions through Facebook Messenger, through Instagram. We're happy to answer anything that comes through. Don't ask us to diagnose any injuries because it's hard over Facebook or Instagram. So thanks again, and we'll jump in your ears next time.